Hallelujah. Well, it's been a good week, amen. Like I said, I started a new job. Once again, it's May 22nd, 2022, amen. And it's been a, you know, transition, obviously, and learning the ways of this new company that I'm a part of and what their expectation is of me and so on. But I know that my heart is always to do, you know, the spirit of excellence with everything that I do, right? I don't want to put my seal or my stamp on something if I haven't done the absolute best that I can do. Amen. And so like I said, we'll wait a minute or so here and we'll get started. Let me post the outline and the link to the outline. Amen. I'm going to have a little exhortation this morning as well. So, but this is the outline. Praise God. All right. Well, I trust everyone is doing well, amen. I trust everyone is still faithfully serving God, amen. It's trying times, you know. There's a lot of struggling. You know, people are struggling out there. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their faces. You know, their desperation. You know, and all right. Let me just start with prayer, amen. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Father, to break bread with your people, Father God, to bring them the words of life, amen. Your word is life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence right now, amen. If your presence doesn't go with us, Father, then don't take us up, amen. And I only want to move forward, Father, with your presence, amen. I'm not interested in performing my own agendas or doing whatever I want to do, whatever I think is you, Father. I want to be led of the Spirit. It is written, Father, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, amen. These are the ones that are following hard after you, Father. These are the ones that are standing in your presence, Father, ministering to you, worshiping you, praying unto you, Lord, letting our requests be made known to the Lord, amen. These are the ones that when they leave your presence, they take your presence with them, amen, just as your angels do, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have this life of God. As it is written, Father, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight, Father? Is it not that your presence goes with us? Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for your precious presence, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, now that you're bringing us, Father, to a place where we command authority. Amen. We command your word, Father, into the earth, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God, that you always do hear my prayers. Amen. I thank you, Lord God, that you've already heard my prayers, amen, as I seek you, Father God, and as I minister to you, Lord God, as I minister to you on behalf of my family, on behalf of my brothers and sisters out there in the world, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you've already heard me, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, for this opportunity that we have to stand in your presence, Father, and minister these words of life to your people. I bless you for your faithfulness, Lord, and I give you praise in Jesus' name, amen. Well, like I said, you know, God's presence, amen, makes a difference in our lives, amen. And that's what we're carrying into the world, amen, everywhere we go, right? Yesterday, or actually it was Friday afternoon when I got off of work, I went to the nearby grocery store and I was picking up some items there. And there was a lot of people in there, you know, I mean, I was walking around, and I was looking at people and studying them, if you will, and watching, looking at their faces, and there's so many of them had a look of desperation, you know. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I was a little sad by it, you know, and it's hard to see people struggling, right, knowing that we have the answer, right? As the scripture says, how are they going to hear unless someone preaches the message to them? And that brings me to another point too. Not just the gospel, not just the good news, but the gospel of the kingdom, amen. The message that comes from God, amen. As the scripture says, let's see here. Let me go to this verse here. Let me see if I can locate it. John chapter 3. And let's see here. So John chapter 3, verse 26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee, all right, beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come unto him. All right, talking about Jesus, amen. Now John answered, listen to this wisdom, and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. You see, if you don't have the message of heaven, if you don't have the message of your time and in your presence, in God's presence and so on, then what message are you preaching, right? What message are you teaching? Whose doctrine are you teaching, right? As again, Jesus said, you'll know the doctrine, whether it's of me, whether they speak of themselves, you see. I remember I was in a meeting and a brother was sharing, and he kept talking about this $4,000 jacket that he had. Well, I don't know what that does to impress God. It surely didn't impress me, right? But the point is that, you know whether they're teaching you another doctrine, right? And I'm not interested in stuff, right? A man can receive nothing except it's been given to him from heaven, right? So then, you know, what message are we preaching, right? Well, the scripture teaches us that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. The origin of what Jesus had came from God. It didn't come just from him, you see? And that, now that doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't a student of the word. We know he was, right? That doesn't mean Jesus wasn't a man of prayer, right? We know he was. And that doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't led of the Spirit, right? But it's not so much that he didn't have the information, right, in his soul, in his mind, will, emotions. The issue is that when the breath of God comes on it, it becomes a rhema, right? And we're going to get into that in a minute, talking about the rhema of God, the word of God, and today's message is, you know, divine authority and the authority of God's word, right? And so anyway, you know, like I said, I saw these needs, but I wasn't necessarily moved to do anything about it, right? All I was doing was observing, right? A seer, right? You see, and God tells you things about it, right? Well, I see that the humanity is suffering as a whole, right? They're in dire straits. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, woe unto the world because of offenses. The word woe is anguish, sorrow, and pain. There's going to be hard times right now, and there is hard times right now. But as the scripture says, there's light in Goshen, amen. The people of God are still moving forward, amen, are still seeking the voice of God, are still seeking to be with God. And this is another scripture here. Let me see if I can locate this one. This is 2 Chronicles, I think it was chapter 15. Hold on. Yep. 2 Chronicles 15, let's start with verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa. Now, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. Isn't that beautiful? And if you forsake him, he will forsake you. But if you seek him, you're going to find him. If you begin to take your direction towards God, faith toward God, get in the word of God about a matter, amen, and bring it to the Lord and start, you know, believing God and so on for that word and whatever you're seeking God for from the word of God, from the word of faith, amen, the word of faith which we preach. And then it says, for a long season, Israel had been without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. And see, and that's how it's been. And even though there's thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women of God that are out there preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God, the problem is that they're not being led of the Spirit of God. It's sporadic, right? One minute you're on, the next time you're off. And the thing is, it's so important for us to spend time with God, because when we're involved in breaking down the Word of God and bringing it forth, amen, of what God has brought to us and what he's given us, you don't need any kind of injection of thoughts that are coming from the world, right? Which brings us, you know, to the point of maintaining our lives before God, sanctifying ourselves before the Lord. And the scripture says in Proverbs, keep your heart, right? Maintain your heart. Your heart is made up of your spirit and your soul. Maintain your mind, your will, your emotions. Watch what's coming in. Watch what's going out. You see, keep your heart with all diligence. Be about the Father's business diligently, right? And it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. The things that bring forth life, the things that pertain to life, And as I was sharing a minute ago here, that seek ye first the kingdom of God, Joseph. You don't have to worry about your own promotion, your own marketing, your own trying to put your face out there and so the people will hear the message of God's coming out of your lips. You don't have to do all that. You just seek ye first the kingdom of God. And as it says here in 2 Chronicles 15:2, if you seek him, he's going to be found of you. Praise God. And now that brings me to another point, is that what is the motive, right? What is the motive of why we seek God, right? What are we looking for? Are we looking for our own promotion? Are we looking for our own glory and so on and so on and so on? Well, praise God, I'm not. And, you know, that brings me to mind another scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And it says here that for the word of God is quick and powerful. Okay, God's word, God's logos, amen. Logos is the Greek word here, word. And sharper than any two-edged sword, amen. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. The word dividing asunder is the word merismos, which means a separation for clarification. So dividing asunder, merismos, all right, of the soul and spirit, and as a discerner, and of the joints and marrow, I'm sorry, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? Only the word of God can give us that distinction about what's going on with the soul and what is the motive of the soul, right? Is the motive to bring glory to God, or is the motive to bring glory to myself, right? And it's easy to see, right, once you start getting in the word of God, because only God's word can gives you that distinction. And and as it says in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You see, a pneumaticos man, a spiritual man, a man that's walking after the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and so on, that man or that woman of God is going to see clearly the motive of the soul and where the soul is coming from and what the motive is and what the soul is trying to gain. All right? Now that brings me into this exhortation that I began to meditate on as the Lord was, you know, bringing forth his word. And in Numbers, let's see here. In Numbers chapter 20, starting with verse 11, all right, it says that Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, all right, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts, all right. Now, the problem was here is that, first of all, if we go back and look at that chapter, Numbers chapter 20, I love this because if you look back here in verse 5, it says, you know, wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt and bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink, man. Times were tough, amen. And what's interesting about this, in spite of all the miracles and all the deliverance that God brought to the children of Israel and bringing them out of Egypt and so on, they still murmured and complained, right? And so it says here that Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. All right? So they were coming to God on behalf of the people. They were, you know, there's an obvious problem here. The people need something to drink. They need water, right? Well, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now watch this, take the rod, Lord of God. Now, what does the rod represent? All right. The rod is divine authority. Amen. And the execution of the divine authority, you see. And the Lord said unto Moses, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together. And that makes me think about something else, is that Moses wasn't just walking around carrying his rod. And the way I've commonly thought about it, because God said, take the rod. All right. So where was the rod? Well, we know that the rod and the manna and the Ten Commandments were in the tabernacle of God. All right. Now, anyway, to the point here, it says that together thou and Aaron, thy brother, verse 8, and speak unto the rock. All right. So what did God say to do? Speak unto the rock before their eyes in their presence. All right. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and the beasts drink. All right, so speak unto this rock, all right? So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the Lord, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? So all of a sudden now, in that verse 10, we have a problem. Moses had an attitude. Moses had a problem here with his soul. And Moses and Aaron gathered, verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, all right? Now remember, God said to speak. And it wasn't the issue of speaking to it or smiting it, as we're going to see here in a minute, that God had a problem with. And with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. All right, so everybody got ministered to and helped and so on. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. So what did God have a problem with? Was it the fact that he smote the rock rather than speak to the rock, or was it that he didn't sanctify the Lord before the people? You see, he did an act of God. He did something that God commanded him to do, directed him to do, but he did it with an attitude. His motive, right, was wrong, all right? Now, we're going to see here in a minute as I bring out more scriptures. Jesus, interestingly enough, in Matthew 12, 36, now, I pondered on this scripture a lot, you know, and I'm always wondering, what does this mean? In the verses, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. All right? So I think about that, right? Idle word here. Well, that word is the word rhema. All right? Idle rhema. Every idle rhema, Joseph, that you speak, you're going to give an account to before God in the day of judgment. All right? And by the way, judgment is eternal, right? Eternal judgment, right? So anyway, I thought about this, and I've been meditating on it, and then I started thinking about Moses, right, and what he did before the people. And what he did is that he didn't sanctify the Lord in the eyes of the people. In other words, he gave an attitude on an issue because his soul got bent, right, bent out of shape here. And because of that, he misrepresented God before the people. And that was the problem, the representation of God. In other words, it made it seem like God was angry with the people, if you will, in the command or in the direction to give them water. You know God wants to bless you, right? There's no doubt that they needed water and that there was a legitimate need there. That wasn't the issue. The issue was with the way, the attitude that Moses had when he struck the rock. He struck it in anger and rebellion before and disobedience to God. In other words, he didn't represent God. And so the thing about this is that, you know, the motive of the heart, right? As I read earlier in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is that discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Your heart needs to be in the right attitude and motive before the Lord and before the people, right? You never do the work of God in anger, right, or out of obligation. It should be a willing heart, right? The Lord loves a cheerful giver, right? In other words, you should be giving willingly of yourself, amen, before the Lord and before the people of God, and before your family, before your brothers and sisters, even out there in the world, right? And you never do the work of God without another motive in your heart. What are you trying to gain out of this thing, right? So Moses smote the rock in anger, all right? And in the instance, he smote it two times, right? Now, I want to go down here now. You know, he paid a heavy price. He was not allowed to go into the promised land, right? He was allowed to see what God was going to bring them into, but he was not allowed to go into it because of his attitude in that moment. All right. So in the Amplified, it says that verse 11, chapter 20, Numbers 20, 11, then Moses raised his hand in anger and with his rod, he struck the rock twice instead of speaking to the rock as the Lord had commanded. And the water poured out abundantly and the congregation and their livestock drank fresh water. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed, trusted me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, you therefore shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, contention and strife, whereas where the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he showed himself holy among them. You see, it was a holy thing that God came down to minister and bring direction to Moses, take the rod and speak. You see, that was a holy moment, all right? And God was, you know, God did not get the proper glory out of that situation, you see? And Moses misrepresented God, and as it says here that Israel contended with the Lord, and he showed himself holy among them. The holy God, the righteous God, amen? Now, in Psalms chapter 78, another confirmation of this, verse 20, it says, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this, and he was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, or against Israel, because of Moses, and the anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. All right? God, again, repeatedly showing the people that, you know, all these miracles and these works that he was doing before them, and yet they still questioned God. They still questioned the motive, what God was trying to do for them, and they didn't trust God. All right, now look at this in Psalms chapter 106, verse 32. They angered the Lord also at the waters of Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. All right, for they provoked. This is verse 33, and then he says, for they provoked Moses' spirit so that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. He had a problem. He had an attitude. In other words, he spoke a word of God. All right. In other words, he did a work of God, and he did it with anger and an attitude in his heart. In other words, the word was idle. The idle word. And so, in other words, it's a misrepresentation of God. It's what it boils down to. Now, what time is it? In the Amplified, it says here, they provoked him to anger at the waters of Meribah, so that it went hard with Moses on their account. Because they were rebellious against his spirit, Moses spoke recklessly with his lips. Misrepresentation. So they limited God, amen? They limited the Holy One of Israel, amen? And again, in Psalm 78, it says, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not want to trust God completely with their lives, you see. And it's interesting that they complained and they wanted to go back to Israel. I want to follow up on something here. I just encourage you to go look at Psalm 106, starting with about 32 there. And I just want to point something out here. Psalms chapter 106. Now, I know in our land right now, we're struggling right now. I know that the water has been held back for a long time. All right? But the scripture says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, all right, then I would hear from heaven. I'm going to hear their cries. I'm going to hear their prayers, their requests. Then I'm going to heal the land. And in the healing of the land, there's going to be rain, and there's going to be abundance that comes forth from God, you see, to bless our land, right? So, in verse 34, Psalm 106, it says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works and their ways, the ways of the world, all right? The ways of their religious foolishness, their dead works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Now, verse 37 is what I was getting to here. And they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Man. Y'all should read that, continue reading that. But the point here that I was getting to is that if the people of God would humble themselves, right? If anybody that needs help from God, that needs direction from God and so on, If we will humble ourselves and turn from our own wicked ways, you see, our idolatry and our foolishness that's not of God, then God is going to hear us and bless this land, right? So I wanted to just make a point here is that, you know, in the land, there's laws that are being produced and they're coming forth from some of these states. And like, for example, in Oklahoma, and they're totally saying no to abortion, right? Saying no to the killing of the babies. Now, we know that the land of verse 38 here says is polluted with blood right now, right? The blood of innocent children that aren't even born yet, they're getting murdered, right? And yet we know that, but we know according to the word of God that if we will humble ourselves as a nation and turn from our wicked ways, that God will heal this land and hear us from heaven, all right? But I'm just saying that to say that, God has a, you know, a way that he operates in, right? And as long as we line up with God and we start learning about his divine authority, which we're going to be getting into the word on that matter, and believe God and trust him for what his word says, you know, then the Lord will bless, amen. The Lord will turn around and favor his people abundantly. Now, and I'm not saying that he's not favoring the people of God. I'm saying that, you know, if we, in our roles as kings and priests, Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek, will begin to dominate in the spirit this realm, all right, of demonic activity that's going on throughout our nation and our world, and bind up and loose, all right, loose the blessing of God, bind up the devils, and all these demons that are you know, wanting sacrifices, right? These are Chemosh and Molech, right? These are the gods that they were sacrificing to their babies so that the land would be prosperous for them. Now, you know, they are ignorant, you know, mankind is ignorantly performing all these terrible acts and inventions. As it says here, verse 39, thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring after their own inventions. All their ideas and their craftiness that they're coming up with, you know, the world is doing all that foolishly, ignorantly, right? But we know as the sons of God and daughters of God that they're serving devils. But we need to be binding up and praying against all these demonic activities. Now, in Jude chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It was about these people that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied when he said, "Look, the Lord came with myriads of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds that they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh and cruel things ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are habitual murmurs, griping, complaining, following after their own desires, controlled by passion. They speak arrogantly, pretending admiration and flattering people to gain an advantage." All right. Now, I like what it says there. It says they control by passion, right? They start, see, we have to, as sons of God and daughters of God, we have to not be led of our soul, including our emotions, right? I mean, we can get pretty heated up about things that we're passionate about, right? And we begin to move forward in a certain direction, and we never even consulted God about the matter. So the point is here is that, you know, these people, it says that Adam, Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied when he said, "Look, the Lord came with myriads or 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds they have done in an ungodly way and of all the earth and the cruel things ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So the execution of judgment, right, and has fallen to the body of Christ in the earth. We're the ones that speak forth and proclaim the things of God. And God has commanded us to command his word, you see, to bring it forth out of your spirit, man. The rhema's now. And I'm not just talking about the word that you know. I'm talking about the breath that God is breathing in your spirit on the word that he's bringing to you. Bring it out and bring it forth with force and strength. Amen. And so in Job chapter 36, right? "But if you obey and serve me, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge." Isn't that sad? And that's Job chapter 36, 11 through 12. And the point here is that if we obey and serve God, right? The promise of God is that if we put our trust in God, right, God is going to perform an action for us. Now look at this in Jeremiah 39, 18. Now, when Jeremiah prophesied this, he was speaking to, let me go get that real quick, Jeremiah 36. He was speaking to Elishama. Okay. I think that's right. Well, the point is that, you know what? I'm in the wrong chapter, 39. That's why I can't find what I'm looking for. Well, shoot, I was trying to find the guy's name here. Well, the point is that this is what Jeremiah, the Lord prophesied. Verse 18, Jeremiah 39, 18. And this is what the Lord shared with me, even concerning my own life. This was a rhema to me. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee. Because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. You see, you know, the Lord in one strong heart deliverance has brought deliverance to my life in such a way now that there's so much time that's been redeemed, obviously. And as the scripture says, redeeming the time because the days are evil, right? He says, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy soul, the word life there is the Hebrew word nefesh, which is soul, shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. And so that principle falls in line with Jesus and what he said, if you seek to save your suke, your soul, your life, you're going to lose it. But if you seek to lose your sake for my sake, you'll find it. Your life is the word soul there. In other words, because we trust in God, God can trust us. Amen. And he can begin to put his burden of responsibilities on our lives and bring us into our inheritance so that we are now doing what God wants us to do in the earth. Amen. So, again, the faithfulness of God and bringing us to a place where, because we've trusted in him, amen, and relied on him, and confidently waited on him, he begins now to bring our direction to our lives day by day by day. Great, from faith to faith, from grace, strength to strength, amen, from glory to glory, amen. And as we get into the word here, we're going to understand some things here now that I'm saying get into the word. I mean get into the outline. We're going to discuss now the authority of God's word and why it's important to put God's word as final authority in our lives. All right, and we're going to start on the outline now. So the authority of God's word. So the scripture says here in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And that word, excuse me. That word word there in Mark chapter 13. But my words, my logos, shall never pass away. All right. Now, that brings to mind another verse here. He says here in 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. That word is the word rhema of the Lord endures forever. And this is the rhema which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, that word that comes from God, from comes from heaven, as I read earlier, that no man except to be, no man can do. Oh gosh, I gotta go back to this one now. Well, you can't do the work of God and the word of God with unless God has given it to you, right? So the point is here is that But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, it's not just the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom, right? This word of God is not just words that are written down on paper, if you will, or inscribed on an application or whatever, a Bible app. These words have breath and they have life to them when the Lord breathes on them, right? And that's the point here, is that this word of God is forever. Amen. As I said earlier, eternal judgment. All right. God's judgment, God's word is forever. It's never going to change. Right. And we need to understand that as sons of God, daughters of God, in the kingdom of God, is that this word is forever. All right. And so God's word. So the authority on two levels. Right. So heaven and earth shall pass away or go by or away, perish, neglect, or avert. But my Logos shall never pass away or go away or perish or be neglected or averted. And so in the beginning here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, let's take a look at that. It says there, in the beginning God created. All right? That word created here is to create, to shape, to fashion, or to form. God had to say something to bring forth a creation. All right. So, again, the Father in the beginning, he brought forth the Word, amen, and began to bring forth creation. All right. And so in verse 3 now, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, this little passage here, let there be, is a Hebrew word, haya. I remember as a kid, we used to always do karate and play karate or whatever, and we'd do haya, you know. And I didn't know I was declaring a Hebrew word. But this word, haya, means to be, to become, to come to pass, to exist, to happen, to fall out. All right. And then it's in the Strong's, it says to exist, that is to become or come to pass, always emphatically. In other words, and God said, Haya! You see? He didn't just say it, Haya. There was emphasis behind that word when he spoke it. Amen? This divine word, amen, that brings forth the divine authority of God, it came from an authoritative position. All right? Now, in Psalm 119:89, it says, thy word, amen, Psalm 119:89. Let's look at that. Praise God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's a done deal, man. It's not going to change. And now, it's interesting that, you know, we know the Word of God is the Word of God, right? We as believers, you know, that's God's Word. But, you see, and that's why lordship is so important. As Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Am I your Lord? Or are you just believing in me because I'm telling you? Well, yes, they believed in him because he said that to them, but, right, he was not just the savior of this world. He's not just the savior. And that's where, you know, you got a lot of organizations that's all they bank on is that Jesus saved them. Well, save them from what? Save them for what purpose, right? Why? Why did he deliver us from the darkness of this world and from the darkness of demonic realms and so on? Why? What was the purpose? Well, the purpose is to raise us up, as it says, I read earlier in Jude. Let me go back to that one. He says here, Adam, that Enoch prophesied when he said, look, the Lord came with myriads of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly. Okay, so why? Okay, so why? Well, why? Because we have a work to do in this earth. Just like God told the Israelites to rid the nations, all right, everywhere that they had to go and take land from, right? It's the same thing in the spirit today. We have to take the land, and we do it by the word of God, amen? As the rhemas of God come to you, not just idly, right? you know, doing the work of God and you don't have a direction from God. You're misrepresenting, right? So now in 1 John 5:7, just look at that. 1 John 5:7. And there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There's three that bear record of God's word. Amen. And they are all one, united in the cause and the purpose of God, the Father. Amen. And so, as sons of God and daughters of God, so should we be involved in bringing forth this kingdom of God everywhere we go. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And when you look at the preceding verse, it says, for when the Gentiles have not the law, you see, even though God's word wasn't brought to the Gentiles first, God still had a plan, all right, to bring God's word to his people as a whole. Amen. And in that, you see, we're even guided by our own instincts as far as how we should conduct ourselves on matters at times. And we don't even have God's word. And that tells you how eternal this word is, that it reaches to every man's heart, amen, regardless of the condition, until they get, someone preaches and teaches to them the gospel of the kingdom, and they get born again, and all of a sudden, they now have an opportunity to come into their own inheritance, right? So heaven and earth shall pass away, amen. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, let's go to that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image is the word character of his person, and upholding all things by the rhema, the word there's rhema, of his dunamis, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see? So he by himself he purged our sins, right? But the point is there is that he's upholding all things by the rhema of his power. Upholding here is a word to carry or to bear, to carry some burden. That's pretty awesome to me, right? As far as the burden, the burden of responsibility that was laid on his life, right? But the thing is now is that us as sons of God and daughters of God, now we are partakers of the heavenly calling. All right. And that's another thing that comes to mind here, that, you know, a lot of people, you know, you hear about, you know, I've got a calling of God on their lives. Well, guess what? Every son or daughter of God that gets born again from the kingdom of God, the origin of God, all right, from God, it says, the scripture says that in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We are all partakers of this heavenly calling. It's not just a select few, you see. We are all a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, as the scripture says in Peter, all right. Now, so by inheritance, verse 4, it says, let me go back to the preceding verses here. Verse 4, Hebrews chapter 1, 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Name is honor, authority, and character. So by inheritance, he obtained. And it's the same thing for us, amen. As we begin to get into God's word and take God for his word, amen, and trust the Lord, amen, and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. He shall direct our paths. As we do this, we are by inheritance. We are obtaining our own inheritance in the Lord as we pursue God, because we're finding God. We're finding our purpose. It's interesting that, you know, yesterday we went out to eat, me and my sons, after we moved this refrigerator into our home, which is a big task. I mean, the refrigerator dropped on its side at one point, but it's working fine. Anyway, we went out to eat, and my son was asking me about, you know, I was sharing with the story about when I went to that grocery store this Friday, past Friday. And I could see all these people are looking for purpose, right? They don't have identity. So then we began to talk about identity. And it's so interesting that, you know, if we're not constantly encouraging and working with our children about God's word and his kingdom, that they'll end up forgetting, right? Because the world is pressing them on the other side. We on the one side are coming forth of our spirit, out of our spirits, and ministering to our families and so on. But on the other side, the enemy is waiting for the man child so he can devour him, as it says in Revelation. He wants to devour our children and their futures and our futures. All right. Now, so by inheritance he obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, in Isaiah 40 verse 8, all right. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8. Praise God. It says here, the grass withereth and the flower fades, but the word of God, of our God, shall stand forever. Again, emphasizing the importance and the value and the relevance of God's word. All right. Now, so, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So God's word is the authority for entrance. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, the scripture teaches us here that God had to close the way to the tree of life because something happened, right? Adam and Eve, all right, because of their transgression, right, they opened the door to some area that was holy, the tree of life, that never should have been opened, right, from that direction. They came in from wrong side, if you will. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. This is Genesis 3:22, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You see, if God had not instituted that, instituted what he did by putting the cherubims there and stuff, now there would have been a path to get to God that was unholy and unsanctified. See, because God is holy. Amen. Thou shalt have, as the scripture says in Exodus 20, verse 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The word before me is panim, which means my face. In other words, I'm so holy, I can't even look at sin. I can't think about sin. It's just not a part of who he is, right? The self-existing one, Jehovah, right? And the thing is that, again, when our lives are not sanctified before God, there's going to be a problem. Amen? Now, let's see here. So in verse 15, Genesis 3:15, the scripture says that, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. In other words, your seed and her seed. Her seed is going to bruise your head, your authority, your power over our lives. And it eventually came through Jesus Christ. Thou shalt bruise his heel, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the enemy's constantly trying to trip us up, but we're going to have authority over him in Christ. You see? And therefore, we are now the ones that are able to bring back the presence and the life of God into the earth. Amen? As we're led of God's Spirit. So enmity between thy seed and her seed. See, it, the righteous seed, shall bruise thy head, shall bruise your authority. Thou shalt bruise his heel. He's tripping us up and causing us to stumble or fall, right? Because he is the accuser of the brethren. He's always pointing the finger at us. So in Mary, in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, now listen, because she obeyed God's word and what the angel said to her, it said, be it unto me according to thy rhema. She allowed the word of God to work. Amen. And that's what we must do. Amen. This authority of God's word, we've got to allow God's word to work. There's a process, you see. The seed just doesn't come up overnight and become what it's supposed to be, right? A flower or a fruit tree or an apple tree or whatever, pecans, nuts, whatever. It takes time for that seed to grow up, right? Well, we've got to give God's word time to grow in our lives. And so, in John chapter 10, now this is talking about the porter ministry. John chapter 10, verse 1. And Interestingly enough, you know, I was sharing with the sister on Friday that, you know, the world hasn't heard, the religious system hasn't heard the gospel of the kingdom. And when they do hear it, they don't want it. Because it requires your life, your soul, your ambitions, your dreams, what you had hoped for. You got to check now that check all that now against God's word. Amen. So verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber." All right? And this principle of the thief and the robber is that you want to do it another way that's not God. It's the same thing in our workplace, right? When somebody tries to go another way to do a certain process that there's already a procedure for, they want to do it their own way. Oh, man. And so we have that everywhere we go, right? We constantly need to be monitoring the door. In other words, into our lives, all right? We shepherd what, or we allow to come in God, we allow to come out God, but we don't allow the world, you see, or the demonic activity. Now, verse 2, it says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." You see? In other words, what you've allowed to come into your life is what the porter is bringing into your life, the shepherd. The attitude of the shepherd is he's a porter. Now, to him the porter openeth, verse 3, "and the sheep hear his voice, and they call it his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." Now, yesterday our mower locked up, if you will. So my son was mowing, and he ran into something. I don't know what happened to it, but we can't crank it up, you know. So now, but anyway, there was a gentleman down the road that was mowing and asked me if he could stop by, and I had already known him. I didn't realize I knew him. But he came and he mowed the yard, right? But I called my wife to let them know somebody's going to be coming to mow the yard. In other words, the shepherd, the porter of this house, me, as a father, as a husband over my wife, let them know that there's somebody coming. It's okay, in other words. You see? Because he's going the right way, that individual, if you will, of me allowing him to come, and of course I got to pay him. But the point is that there's always issues with this, is that the process of how people are trying to conduct themselves out there in the world, for example, you know, people that are involved in robbing, if you will, they're breaking in, they're climbing up another way, they're doing things out of order, right? And of course, as the scripture says earlier from what I read, let's see if I can find that. It says, Job chapter 36, verse 11, or verse 12, "But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." The knowledge that they die without is that they don't know the ways of God. So therefore, they don't know how to do the will of God, the word of God, the way of God, the work of God. They don't understand all this. So they're struggling constantly. But God is raising us up, amen, to help and to teach, amen, the people of God to bring direction to their lives, to help them with their anointings, their callings, their selections, their elections, and so on, if we will do the way of God. Now, so in Isaiah chapter 55, wow, I can't believe we're almost through. We're going to finish it out. Isaiah 55, verse 8, all right? And we've heard, I mean, I'm sure many of us have heard this passage, amen, but we're going to go over it again. Isaiah chapter 55. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth." Amen. We're the ones that are going to command this word and declare this word, amen, into the earth. Amen. "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it." God is sending his word through your lips, body of Christ. Amen. So, now, keep in mind, he says that my ways are not your ways, but after the Spirit, after you've been born again, now take a look at this, Isaiah, 1 Corinthians 2:13. "Which things also we speak, not in the wisdom which man's words teaches," all right, "but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual was spiritual, pneumaticos with the pneumaticos. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You see, my ways are not your ways as a natural man. All right? Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, pneumaticos, judges all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, because we have the mind of Christ, we can instruct, we can bring direction, we can bring the presence of God, the direction of God, the rhema of God, and so on and so on and so on. All right? Let me read another scripture. Man, praise God. John, verse 34, John chapter 3:34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the rhemas of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. So in other words, he that is spiritual judges all things. He can bring forth direction, amen, because he's been sent from God. He's went through the preparation, and now he can be sent, and because he's going to represent and not represent his own soul. So the word is a seed, all right, and not the finance or the sacrifice. The other day I was browsing through the television channels, and I stumbled on, you know, one of the religious broadcast channels. And so the individual that was speaking to the people told them, prepare your financial seed. Let me tell you something. It's not the finance that's the seed. It's the word of God that's the seed, not the finance. So in other words, God loves a cheerful giver, right? But he doesn't want us to give to dead works, all right? He wants us to give to the right field, amen, the Boaz field, the field of plenty, amen. That's where you need to sow in your work to, your finance to. But it's the seed of the word of God that's the seed, not the finance. So that really grieved me when I heard that. You know, and this is the lie that they tell. You know, the Babylonian system works all over the place. Prepare your seed of finance, you know, so you can reap back the reward. Well, the reward is of the Lord, amen. If you seek first the kingdom of God, you see, all these things that the Gentiles are looking for is going to be added unto you. You don't have to go looking for all that. It's going to be given to you. All right? Now, so an invisible God made visible. He made known his mind through the Lord Jesus Christ of what his purposes and his plans were in teaching us who this Jesus is, the Son of God, to show us a Son of God as a representative of how God wants it done in the earth. In other words, Jesus is the pattern. So in Jeremiah 29:11-12, right? It should be a pretty, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. What thoughts does he think towards us? Well, he's going to think the thoughts of his words toward you, because he's already written it. Saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not evil to give you an expected end. The hope of God is that he's going to bring an expectation in your life of his word. Amen. If we stay in the word, the authority of God's word, you see, in the matters that are being presented to you. Now, Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, amen, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Let's look at that in the Amplified. Surely the Lord will do nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Now, yes, God brings us the prophetic word, right? But you as a son of God or daughter of God can also hear from the Lord for the plans and the directions for your own life. In other words, the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ, the direction of God for our own lives. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And so in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Word was made flesh. Jesus was the walking Word. As a matter of fact, in John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The rhemas that I speak unto you are Zoe, are Pneuma, breath of God, Spirit of God, and Zoe. See, because he was sent from God, therefore he spoke the rhemas of God. Same thing for us today. Amen. Now, in Colossians 1:15, We're almost done, amen. Bear with me. Who is the image of the first of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, spoken, amen, just like the Lord spoke in the beginning, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all him, and by him all things consist, amen. So, in other words, everything is by the Word, amen. Jesus was the Word, amen. He was the living Word. The Word was made flesh. Well, you are too, as a son and daughter of God, amen. You bring forth the Word of God, amen, as the pattern son Jesus Christ did. So, in John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Weos, the fully matured Son of God, and that believing you might have Zoe through his honor, through his authority, and through his character, glory to God. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, amen. Believing that you might have Zoe through his name, his honor, authority, and character, amen. Praise God. You see, so all of us have a place in the kingdom of God, in the Father's house, amen. And all of us are being brought into our inheritance little by little, line upon line, here little and there little. Amen. He's bringing it forth from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Amen. Grace to grace. Amen. Constantly moving us forward, bringing us into maturity, bringing us to our inheritance. Amen. All because of the Word of God and all because we submit to God's Word, the divine authority of God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this precious opportunity to break forth and bring forth your bread of life, O God. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is life unto those who find them and health to all their flesh, Father. I thank you, Lord God, but we have the mind of Christ, for eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for those who love him. Amen. May God is revealed unto us by his Spirit. Amen. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is within him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. I thank you, Lord God, that we're constantly reaching out to you, Father. Deep calleth unto deep, Father. And you're revealing to us in our spirits, O God, directions and plans and purposes that you desire us to take, Father God. All for the glory of the Father. All for the kingdom of God, amen. The glory of God, amen. And I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness in this hour, Lord. And I bless you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Your name's above.